Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Azure Block Talk, where we talk about everything related to blockchain and Azure all up. My name is Ziad Rajabi. I'm a program manager on the blockchain team.
And I'm Arvind Curie, also program manager on the blockchain engineering team.
Cool. Today, we got an exciting episode for you guys. We're essentially going to talk to you about a big announcement we're making this month, which is the Azure Blockchain Development Kit. So we're going to go through what that kit's all about, why we created it, what kind of feedback we got from you guys, and show you some really awesome demos and show you code.
Yeah, so thanks, C. First of all, thank you everybody who has been using Azure Blockchain Workbench. It's been great to see all the things that you've been building. And the other thing that's been great is hearing your feedback. And so the feedback has been consistent in a number of ways. We've had people say, hey, you know what? Blockchain doesn't connect to the interfaces my end customers use. So I love the app interface you give me for Workbench, but maybe I want to create my own, or I want to be able to do scenarios like for supply chain. I work with smallhold farmers in Africa, and they don't have an iPhone or a web interface. They have SMS and feature phones. And so how can we do two-way interactions with them? And then I want to be able to connect with devices. And then there's another category of customers say, hey, you know what? I'd really like to have interfaces that tie in with bots and digital assistants. And so we were looking at that as sort of that connect. And then the other thing we looked at is a number of requests that came in really tied to integration. So the enterprise is messy, right, as anyone out there knows. And so you can have multi-billion dollar financial institutions, but they still move files around using FTP. And they need to have ways to get those files in. They might be comma delimited and need to have those parsed and get that data onto the chain. I have one customer who said, hey, you know what, this is how we're going to do it for production, but right now we get PDFs as email attachments. How can we get that data into the chain? So the realities of actually building an end-to-end system are out there. And then they also want to integrate with things like SAP or Office or Adobe and Dynamics, and whether it's getting data from these systems or getting data into them, they really want to sort of do these proof of concepts and build production, but they have to learn these SDKs there, which is not a lot of fun and requires a fair amount of code. And then Z, do you want to talk a little about the media scenarios that they talked to us about?
Sure, yeah. In terms of the media scenarios we keep hearing from customers is really around, hey, what I have is I have a document or some media content, like images and other content, that I want to be associated with transactions on the blockchain. I don't want to necessarily store, and we'd recommend not to store those pieces of content on the blockchain, but rather I want to reference them somehow. And so customers are asking, is there an easy way to basically associate those pieces of content with my transaction and have a hash or reference back to that content so I can be sure that that content never gets changed?
Yeah, no. And so we've had feedback in all these areas. And then there was another piece of feedback that was pretty consistent, right? And that was, hey, I know you've got lots of enterprise customers that have big budgets, but you know what? I'm a man or a woman who's really, really interested in blockchain and I want to do a lot of work with it, but I don't have a lot of time. And I also don't necessarily have a big budget of my own to go do that. And so, you know, is there a way that I can go ahead and be able to build something out very quickly, but at the same time isn't a very high cost? And also doesn't require a lot of management overhead for me. Can it really leverage like serverless technologies to help go do that? And we've sort of taken all this feedback on board. And what we've done is we've put together, as you had mentioned, the blockchain development kit.
Awesome. So let's show some cool demos now.
Sounds good.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch back to your computer, sir.
Great. Okay.
Oh, pause, pause. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Z. So I talked about SMS. And so SMS is interesting in a couple of different ways. Regardless of where customers are, we see people looking to do alerts based on information that happens in the blockchain. So an event is raised in a chain, whether it's Corda or Hyperledger Fabric or Ethereum, and they want to be able to take an action based on this. Now, in this case, we're showing one of the samples, and this sample is for Azure Blockchain Workbench. And you can see here we're in something called Logic Apps. It's a very easy-to-use design surface. It's all very visual. And you can see when a resource event occurs. In this case, there's a message that's been posted. I'm going to look at the subject. I'm going to go ahead and, based on the different types of messages that come through, the one I'm really interested in is, has a contract been inserted or updated? If it's an update and the action name happens to be complete, let's go ahead and send an SMS alert. And here we've got our great partner Twilio, who has a connector that allows you to go ahead and plug this in. In a couple of lines of code, you can do this. Now, this is a fairly generic alert, but over here you can see we've got dynamic content. So if I had information that was available in there, like a customer number or particular details about, say, a temperature reading that was off, which will tie into what Z is going to show in a bit, we can go ahead and do that. But you know what? Other people also like to use Office or Gmail for that matter. And so regardless of how you want to send an email, you can go ahead and add a connector here, provide data in, and it just works out of the box. And the beauty of this is it's serverless. And so what does that mean? It's not a VM that you have to go spin up and manage. And it's, if you've never used Logic Apps before, it's run on trigger. So what happens is this code is triggered when something else happens. And this is a great way, when we talk about other types of integrations today, to go ahead and do more quickly and less expensively. So you can see here, this is when a resource event occurs. And as we go through this section on the development kit, you're gonna see more details or other types of events as we go through. Now, that's been great in terms of showing you how easy it is to sort of pull together some events and sort of interact with alerts. We also have samples in the kits that show how to go ahead and take messages from the SMSs that are coming in. So the scenario we have, we've got a sample contract called the Farmer Lot Collection. And so what happens is the farmer can go ahead and text in the amount of product that's being delivered. And so that could be a bag of coffee or cocoa or other things like that, where they deliver a sack to a collection point. But they can go ahead and deliver that by going to indicate that using their phone, and that can get pulled into the chain. Now, that's great, but let's try something else, because it's not just about connecting with phones, it's also connecting with other types of devices. Z, do you want to talk about IoT and IoT Central and the new stuff there?
Yeah, let me go ahead and switch over to my computer here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a particular scenario. So imagine a scenario in a supply chain where you're basically doing a provenance of goods from each party to another party. And we'll call this particular sample refrigerated transportation because humidity and temperature and perhaps GPS is really important with the scenario. Maybe I'm carrying some perishable goods like ice cream. And along the way, I'm using these IoT devices to track my temperature and humidity. And the contract or the sample application here is pretty simple. You basically have different parties. You have devices here that track the telemetry. You have an owner of the supply chain and an observer. And along the way, you're essentially creating a supply chain shipment, making everything go in transit, and then either in a successful state, it gets completed. And if the telemetry gets out of a range that you've specified, you're out of compliance. And so the workflow is kind of simple. It basically has four different states here, with the highlighted yellow path as being the quote-unquote happy path, which is a successful path from a shipment being made all the way to completed.
And with the ice cream scenario, I didn't really think about this until I started working with this company, is you think about melted ice cream, and no one likes that, and that's pretty obvious. But if it melts and gets refrozen, people get really, really sick. So this is a great example of blockchain where you have a bunch of parties working together. And even if there's a lot of trust between the organizations, if the guy or the woman running the truck breaks the cooler and then gets it fixed and doesn't tell anyone, people can get really, really sick. So it's really bad for everyone.
That's right. And so in order for this scenario to work, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a device off of Azure IoT Central. So here is Azure IoT Central. If you guys don't know what this is, do you want to explain, actually, Mark, what IoT Central is and how why people are interested in using this the SaaS app?
Sure. So you've seen in other videos we've done integrating directly with IoT Hub, which requires a fair amount of programming. And if you look at what IoT Central delivers, it really is a nice SaaS offering that provides manufacturers a number of capabilities and a really great experience out of the box.
And one of the things that it does is it allows you to manage a set of real and or simulated devices altogether. And so in this case here, this scenario can work with a real device. But because if you don't have a real device on us right now, we're going to use a simulated device using IoT Central. So here, I've created a simulated device called IoT Central Simulated Device, just an original name there. And I've specified a couple of things. So number one, this device is tracking two telemetry metrics. One is called humidity, and the other one is temperature. If I look at temperature, for example, temperature is tracking in degrees centigrades, and it has a min value of 2 to 5. So this is the range that this device is spitting out, and we're calling this the quote unquote healthy range right now. So over here on the right, you'll see a graph here of basically since it's simulated telemetry points being captured by the device based on some time frame. And so here you can see temperatures is ranging here between 2 and 5, and my humidity here is ranged between 25% to 65%. So pretty simple. One of the things that you can do with IoT Central is specify specific rules. These are alerts. And so what I've done here is I've created an alert that says, if the temperature is greater than 6, do something about it. So it's really simple alert. And all it's doing is it's looking for a couple of conditions. Number one, the temperature being greater than 6. And number two, humidity is greater than or equal to 0. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire two different actions. One action is going to be a custom action where I'm going to fire a transaction on the blockchain via Azure Blockchain Workbench. And so let's go over to the flow to show you what this thing looks like. So when I look at this flow, basically it has several steps. The first step is you get this alert that gets fired from my IoT Central application with a specific rule. So if I go and click on the dropdown, you'll see it's coming from IoT Central. Oops. And with the rule of temperature greater than 6 that I showed you before. The next step is it's going to pull in the timestamp. When did this event occur? And it's going to convert it to ticks, since in Solidity, we track time using integers. And what it's going to do then is going to look up the device in our stored procedure that's connected to the database that's connected to Workbench. And it's going to parse that information, so getting the information of basically what ledger, the connection ID, the smart contract, all the information necessary so that we know how to push the information to the appropriate smart contract.
And that's one of the great things about Logic Apps, right? It has these capabilities to sort of parse data and do transformations and things like that. So regardless of which system you're coming from, you can get into a format that's most appropriate for the chain.
Right. And the next step is we're just going to create a request ID, so it makes a unique ID that we're going to push.
And that request ID, it goes into, in the case of Workbench, it can be you can use that with Application Insights to trace the message all the way through, right?
That's right. So, and the last step then is to push the actual transaction. So what we're going to do is we're going to take all the information that we had from before, and we're going to create an actual message onto the system. And this message is going to be in a specific format, but basically what I want you to show you here is it's pulling in the humidity, the temperature, the timestamp, and it's pushing that as a request. So now that you see sort of how this flow works, let's see everything in action with the demo. So I'm going to go to my refrigerated transportation application. In a previous step, I haven't shown you guys this, but I have added that IoT Central simulated device as a device in my system. So now I can reference it when I create a new shipment contract. So here's a new shipment. I can go inside here. I can specify my IoT Central simulated device. I can specify myself as the owner. I can specify Contoso Food Inspector as the observer. I can give the nominal humidity and temperature range and hit create. Now what I've done is I've just created a new transaction that's pushed onto the blockchain that represents this new shipment, whether I'm shipping ice cream or some other perishable good. So here's the stuff, it's all created. Because I don't want the temperature to go off on my watch, since right now I'm the party that owns this, I'm going to take an action. I'm going to transfer these goods to our favorite shipping company called Shady Shipping. I'm going to take action. Now these goods are with Shady Shipping. Now along the way, the device is continuing to fire. So if I go back to my IoT Central here, and I go to measurements, notice that my device is continually firing. However, the readings are all in the nominal range. So nothing should be happening that's bad with respect to my smart contract. But what happens if I change the reading to something where it's going to be bad? So let's go ahead and edit the template, and I'm going to change the temperature range.
Let's turn up the heat.
That's right. Let's go from 20 to 30 degrees. So that refrigeration unit just got busted. I can hit save, hit done. And what you're going to see here, we're going to wait, since there's a little bit of delay here from the simulated device to hit the trigger, you're going to see the reading is going to be, it's going to spike from right now, it was read at 2.87 degrees Celsius to hopefully something that is way above that range. And when that thing spikes, you're going to see an automatic transaction being pushed to the blockchain so that the shipment that I've created is no longer in the nominal range and will be out of compliance. So you can see here the reading is 26.54. If I go back to my workbench, it's happened really fast, but as soon as the reading got spiked, a trigger got event through the flow and made the IoT Central device trigger that event on the blockchain, which resulted in the state now of that contract becoming out of compliance. And so now it's out of compliance. And if I go down to the details view here, I can see that the reading from the sensor was 26 degrees.
And so that's super powerful. So we've got IoT Central, which is SaaS, which makes it super easy for businesses to hook up devices and get out to their customers and get identities and track temperature. And then with Workbench, we've gone ahead and got that assigned into the database. And using the Logic app, we're able to connect all those things together. So what arguably you might have thought might have been like a very long multi-week POC, I mean, how long did it take you to pull this together?
It took me a couple of days, only because I didn't play with IoT Central before. But if I had known about IoT Central and knew about its technology, it probably would take me a couple hours.
That's awesome. Hey, why don't we do some more demos?
Yeah, let's go switch over to your computer here.
Okay. So we talked earlier.
Let's switch to your computer here.
Thanks, Z. And so remember earlier we talked about people really wanted to explore scenarios with AI and bots and assistants. And so from their experiences perspective. And so we said, you know what, we can do that. And how we can do that is whether it's Cortana, or it's Amazon Alexa, or it's Google Assistant. They all have interfaces that may reside on one cloud platform, but they connect up with webhooks, which allows us to connect them to our good friend here, Logic Apps. And so you can see here an example of what we've done with the blockchain bot. So we used a bot service. We have a webhook that gets fired here. And you can see when an HTTP request is received, because this serverless solution we have here can be exposed as an HTTP endpoint. And so here, we're going to go ahead and get some data in here. And if you've seen our other samples about Simple Marketplace, you can see there's an asking price, a description, and you're also getting the email. Now, the email, when I register with the bot service, when I'm logged into Cortana, in this case, I'm going to have an email that's associated with me, and we'll sort of drive some of the interactions that are here. In this case, we happen to be using it with Azure Blockchain Workbench, although everything we're showing here can be used directly with the chain. And while it may be Ethereum, you can use Corda or other chains as well, using Logic Apps and functions. You'll see here we'll go ahead and get the chain ID, so we're getting the ID for the user on the chain based on their email. We're going to package it up. We're going to go ahead and send a message, and then we're going to go ahead and send a response back. And the send message is going to go to the chain. Now, this is all well and good, but you're going to assume that we can get this to work on our stuff. Let's go take a look at Alexa, right? And so if I go to the Alexa developer portal, I've gone ahead and built something called Order Checker, which will check the status of orders like the ones we were just looking at from refrigerated transportation. And so over here, I can say, ask order tracking, what is the status of order 130? So Z was talking earlier about different states that the packages could be in, and one of them being in transit. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to hit return here. It's going to go off. It's going to contact a Logic app we've written there. And you can see here, it's come back and says your shipment is currently in transit state. Your package is currently with Woodgrove Shipping, which is great because we know the shady shipping guys really have a bad track record of getting things out there. And so here we've got the input and the output that's come back from our service. And that's a Logic app we've got over here. So we've got the when an HTTP request is received. Here we've got the schema that's coming in from Alexa. We go ahead and package that back with a response. We also have it tied to Google Assistant, which you'll find inside of the dev kit. And so that's been a quick tour around what we call Connect, and sort of one of the three pillars we have in the development kit. I think what would be great to talk about now is that next piece, which is integrate. Like, how do you integrate with the messy enterprise and the world out there that people talk about all the time? And we've got some great samples there. So do you think we should dig in?
Yeah, let's absolutely do that. Do you have other demos you want to show on that one?
For integrate? Absolutely. Yeah. Let's go ahead and dig in. So here we're looking at a sample that ties back to the scenario that Zia talked about earlier, which is hashing of media files. So basically what you want to do is whenever a file is added, go ahead and take that file, get it in its metadata, and run hashes for both of them, and then send that hash information to a registry that's running on the chain. Now, the reason why you might say, hey, why are we going to hash the metadata as well? It really is just to make sure that you understand the context as well as the image, because sometimes images can be used out of context, and you want to make sure you can handle that. Now, here we're looking at one for blob. We also have in the development kit references here for and samples for OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, SharePoint, Adobe Creative Cloud, really the places where your business is going to be storing files. We're going to go ahead and get the content, run it all the way through, and then take those hashes and send them to the chain. Now, the other thing we want to take a look at is some of the other messy scenarios that are out there. Let's talk about FTP sites, right? There's lots of FTP work still going on where, you know, a financial services organization will get or need to send a file via FTP. So here, one of the things about Logic Apps is we get to 200 connectors out of the box. One of those is for FTP receive. We'll go ahead and do the same old thing, run it through and get that to the chain. Now, wait, there's more because there's other stuff we need to do. And this is not glamorous, but it is the reality of the enterprise. What if I'm getting a flat file that's been added to OneDrive and I need to go ahead and sort of parse that out, that comma separated file, loop through all the records and then add them to the chain. And so this is a fairly common scenario where we're dealing with sort of legacy infrastructure and it works just the same. When a file is created in this particular folder, they were going for the root, we're going to use this CSV parser. We're going to go ahead and look at the, and that's an action we've got in Logic Apps we get for free there. We're then going to go ahead and parse that body out looking at detail. Now, this is for one we're using public data for food recall. So food safety is a scenario that comes up a fair bit. And so that's a structure we're using there. And so we're parsing that result out. And then we're going to go ahead and then for each of the records that are in there, we're going to go ahead and send that to the chain and add a record. So that's a lot of stuff sort of dealing with sort of the nitty-gritty of integration with the enterprise. And so now we've gone from connect and we've done integrate. Hey, Z, I think it's important to talk about the next one, which is deploy. So DevOps is really important and something that people don't really understand, right? I mean, when you think about how do you do DevOps for a consortium like 30 people, right?
Yeah, I think the difficulty there is who's in charge of deploying the contract, who needs to update it, how do you actually go do that stuff, especially when you're dealing with more than just one enterprise customer.
Right, I mean, so it's a mixture of, hey, how do I do like my code check-ins and pull requests and get those through the system for a dev and test, and what does that really mean in a consortium context, and how many people need to sign off? It's also, you know, for smart contracts in general, how do I do unit testing on smart contracts? What's the way that I go do that? Mm-hmm. How do I do build pipelines and deployment pipelines? And then there's the whole fact that the blockchain is immutable, right? So before, if you were updating data, you'd say, I'm just going to put a bunch of data into this database. But we're talking about smart contracts. So we've got a bunch of different people that need to integrate in this workflow sequence. So it's fairly challenging like on the surface on how you would go about doing certain things like that. Mm-hmm. And then you know, the blockchain is immutable. So if you've got version one, and then you want to go make some updates and do continuous integration and continuous delivery, how do you do that with these things that are already there? And also, how do you think about, in as you go to production, actually migrating from one version of the contract to another? And so the good news is that everything you would typically do for DevOps, mm-hmm. You can absolutely do for blockchain. And so if we think about DevOps for blockchain, there's a great tool we already have. So sometimes people, hey, what are you going to go build to go do this? Mm-hmm. But the folks in Azure DevOps and our good friends at Truffle mm-hmm. have a combination of tools here that do just a really, really great job for us. And so if you think about, hey, I want to do development and start off there. Well, you want to do development on your local machine. Remember what I said earlier about we've got the folks that are enterprise developers, and we have people that are non-enterprise developers that are really passionate about blockchain but really want to follow best practices, or maybe they got a micro ISV or things that they're setting up. And so here, they don't want to have a blockchain running the entire time, and they don't want to spin all these things up. And maybe they love Azure Blockchain Workbench, but they want to do their testing of the smart contracts locally to make sure they've got it before they spin up mm-hmm. a workbench. And so what's cool is our friends at Truffle, and their other videos on Block Talk that are launching today with deeper dives in some of the tools they have this thing called Ganache, which is effectively a local blockchain that you can go ahead and interact with. It can also do things like forking the chain, so you can get a cut of whatever the current real-world blockchain is and bring it local. Mm-hmm. And then they have got the Truffle Suite, which helps you do unit tests and lots of other goodness for your projects. And so you'll develop with Truffle locally, if you're using Solidity, for example. You'll do tests that are there. And so they've done a really good job about how to document that, and we've spent time with them saying, okay, how can we bring that into our DevOps pipeline and use some of the tools that we have? And it's really worked out really well. So mm-hmm. I'd love to dive into DevOps now and
have a discussion. I would love for you to show that.
Cool. Okay, so this is the new look of Azure DevOps. You can see over here we've got our code repo. Now, in this case, we're dealing with a repo called DevOps Samples. And so we're using a repo with inside of Azure DevOps, but we can absolutely do everything we're doing here with GitHub. You can see here that we've got our smart contracts. In this case, we've got a basic item registry that we're working with. We also have a set of tests. So these are tests that our good friends at Truffle built for us. So they're written in JavaScript. And you can see here they're doing a bunch of assertions and testing the different functions of the contract. So should it be nameable? Should it be describable? Should start off in the created state? So we're looking at different aspects of the contract and interacting with the contract in both the registry as well as for the individual items as well. And so they've done a great job of getting the tests in there. And we said they run locally, and we'll show in a minute how they also run inside here in DevOps. You're going to see here that there's an Azure Pipelines YAML file here. You can see here what we've done. This is from my colleague David Brutler, who's done a nice job. Some of you may have seen his blog posts on this. We're going ahead and installing NPM. And we're going to do Truffle compile and Truffle test. So we're actually within Azure DevOps running a compiling and running tests here, and that's one of the steps we've got landed in here. We're also using Mocha. And if you're not familiar with Mocha, in the notes, we'll include, for the DevOps samples, we'll include links to Mocha so you can learn more about that. And then we go ahead and publish the results back out. So if I look over here and I go to, say, my build pipeline, you can see here I can go ahead and click on the check-in that happened earlier. We can see that the test succeeded. So we had 37 total tests. You get the nice UI that comes from Azure DevOps. You can see that zero of them failed. You can see the build pipeline succeeded, and you can see all the changes that are associated with that. And then we can go ahead and do all the goodness that's there with deployment pipelines, so release pipelines as well for deployment. But you can see here we've got a lot of goodness here. And so regardless of where you want to go, if you want to be able to connect, if you want to be able to integrate, if you want to be able to deploy, we've got lots of goodness for you. And there's one last thing I'd like to show that we're going to be launching this week as well. Everyone has said, hey, I love Azure Blockchain Workbench. But sometimes folks say, you know what, I love Workbench, but I don't necessarily need everything that it gives to me. Or, hey, I'd like to use it for more of a production scenario. Is there something that you guys have that we might be able to use? And so one of the things we're also unveiling today is the Ethereum blockchain connector for Logic Apps. And here we're showing a preview that we're working on right now inside of Flow. And so what this is going to allow you to do is, you saw all the samples we showed earlier, which allowed you to read or write to Azure Blockchain Workbench, which would then communicate to the chain. This can go ahead and do that directly. Now, it doesn't get you all the goodness that you get with Workbench, right? So Workbench is going to give you the great UI. It's going to get things in off-chain data for you. So it's definitely not competitive to Workbench, but there are certain aspects of things where people want to build some code that connects directly, and they want to build it directly through the design service. And I think what gets me most excited about this, see, is that if we're doing this sort of visual design metaphor and we're using everything that's serverless, I think what we're getting to, and what Microsoft has done pretty much forever, is, you know, how do we make anybody who has an idea enable them to realize that through software? Whether it was Bill and Paul with Basic, and then we had Visual Basic, and now we went to cloud, and you just saw an IoT, what the IoT team is doing to make it easier. I think what we really have now is the ability for every developer to become a blockchain developer. And we're really excited what folks are going to do. And we shipped a lot of stuff today. We've only barely scratched the surface on what's inside the development kit. And I can tell you on behalf of the team, we're going to ship and ship relentlessly. So get ready. There's lots of good stuff coming your way. And we're going to have lots of videos here to show you how they work in more detail. Mm-hmm. And we know it's November, and a lot of companies around the world start to slow down around this time, and systems go into lockdown phases. So you're going to find, I think, at least 20 videos inside of Block Talk launching at the same time today. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do a little binge watching, do a little coding, and really sort of dig in, definitely do that. And we really look forward to what you're going to build.
Yeah, and if there's any other kind of videos you guys want to see or any kind of content you guys want to see, please let us know. And through the comments, we definitely take a look at those things. Do you want to share our hashtag so people can follow us and find where these things are at?
You absolutely. You can follow us on YouTube, definitely here on Channel 9, and on Twitter. And this is where you definitely want to follow us on at MSFT Blockchain. So we're going to be releasing a lot of samples over the next few months and ongoing from there. And you're going to be able to find out about them as soon as they post through that Twitter handle. So that's at MSFT Blockchain.
Yep. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks. And look forward to seeing what you build.
Great.